Welcome to episode number 304 of the Family Podcast Network. Today's episode is going to be dedicated to those folks and those families who are looking at fostering and adopting their kiddos. How can Family Podcast Network help take your foster and adoption ship to a whole nother level? Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, or even a foster or adoptive parent, there is always something that we can do to take our skills to that next level. The date today is May the 21st, 2014. Our topic for today is going to be, so you're a foster or adoption mom and dad, how can Family Podcast Network help you? Because I have one too. That's right, today we are looking at one of the official first days of our adoption of the little kiddo that we're going to be taking care of. And she's home, and we're in a very good spot here with all of this. So one of the things that, you know, we've been in a unique perspective that we've gotten to have her come stay with us over a couple of times over the last few weeks and the last couple of months now. And we've gotten to take a look at how does the ideology of the Family Podcast Network apply into working with kiddos that are foster kids or adoptive kiddos. I'll be frank with you guys. It was a trial run. We didn't know. I had a firm belief system about how it would work, but I didn't know until we've been able to put it into practice. And we have found that if this doesn't work as well as what we talk about it working with, like, our biological kiddos, I would say it actually works a little bit better. And anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So the show for today is, what if you've been thinking about it, but you're just not quite sure you can handle it? Or what if you just jumped into it and you just hit 2 feet and you're like, man, I've got to figure out a way to take this to the next level because this is hard. We're going to talk a little bit today about what can you be doing as a new mom and dad to a kiddo who is foster or adoptive to help you take that parenting to the next level, to that point to where it's we can help these kiddos be successful and live successful lives in a way that we're not ready to rip our hair out. It's possible. Before we do that, quick housekeeping, guys. You want to get notified of any new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast. This is one of people's favorite things to do, and I have so few that I actually unsubscribe from this because it's people's favorite, but you can do that. TheFamilyPodcast.com, right-hand side, enter your name and your email address, and you get put on a special list of folks who get new episode updates. The minute that I hit post, you'll get an email within 30 minutes of that saying, hey, Trey's got a new show out. Come check it out. Here's what it's over. It's favorite way to people to do that. Make sure you don't miss out on that one episode. If you just could have heard it, would have changed everything. Also, guys, don't forget to go like us on Facebook. Share this episode out on Facebook. That's a bit of a big way. The reality is that this show cannot go any bigger without it getting shared and without you guys saying, do check this out. So don't forget to do that. If you like it, don't forget to share it. It's one thing to throw out likes, and I need those likes because they help it show up in people's stuff. But well, this stuff needs to go viral, and it's got to go viral, and I can't do that by myself. So consider also sharing these out. Guys, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode, 3 dimes. If you're like you're getting 3 dimes out of every single one of these in information, knowledge, etc., consider becoming a PTACR. That stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That was a funny little pitch that we put on the words PETA or the acronym PETA. But that's just saying if you want to support the show, 3 dimes per every episode. If you feel like you're getting support, encouragement, ideas, thoughts, hacks for parenting, etc., consider becoming a member. We want to have you. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, topics, or encouragement that you want to shoot out to us, we take it and we love it, and we'll put it on the air for you. And so anyway, go to thefamilypodcast.com. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see there's a little button that says Ask Trey and Jeff a Question. If you got a microphone connected to your computer, you can ask me right over your computer, your iPhone, your Android, your iPad, etc., right through SpeakPipe. You can download a little app on there that makes it super-duper easy, and you can leave those over that SpeakPipe app anytime that you want to. You can always call us at 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. Give us a call. Give us a holler. We love your calls, your questions, and topics that you want to hear. You can always email us at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. Shoot me your email, your topics that you want, and we love to put them up there. We might even feature your show in the Media Sucks Monday segment. That's the show where we put those all together. All right, with all of that out of the way today, let's go ahead and get into our topic for today, which, again, we're going to talk a little bit about. So you're a foster adoptive parent. How can FPN help you? Because I have one, too. Just a funny little rhyming scheme we do there. But we've, you know, the reality is this. I want to issue out a disclaimer here. When it comes to this whole idea of foster and adoptive parent, in terms of being a frontline mom and dad doing this, I am very new to it. And so I want to come out with a disclaimer here because I don't want to come off as arrogant or outside of the realm of what I can speak to. I also want to flip this around to say on the other side of this that before this, I used to do a lot of foster and adoptive placements. So I used to be the person who actually helped get people squared away, help people get their certifications, help people get licensed so that way they could do this. And so I've got to be on the placement side of things for a very long time. And then now this is my first time to get to be on the parent side of it. And so I'm approaching this as humbly as necessary here to make sure you guys hear me say I don't have all the answers. What we're going to talk today is about a framework of belief systems. Now, those of you guys who may be new listeners, I suspect that several of you looked up foster to adopt, and you probably stumbled across this audio podcast. I want you to hear me say we have a system of belief here that is non-traditional compared to a lot of what mainstream parenting is like and what it does and what it suggests is the best. However, if you've been doing this foster adopt long enough at all, you understand that these kids can't do mainstream parenting. Whether the state of Texas or whether we live in Texas here, and so you know, whether it's your state that disallows you from being able to practice things, for instance, in Texas, you cannot practice spanking with these kids at all in any capacity. Whether you believe in it or not, it is a big no-no. You cannot do it, and you will have kids pulled from your custody if you do. So there's some of those beliefs. That is not a unusual thing here at the Family Podcast Network for us to talk about, is getting away from spanking. Now I want to be really clear on a few things here. For those of you guys that are brand new, that are hearing this and you're just like, oh my God, you're one of those parents. We're not. We are absolutely not one of those parents. We are not the jellyfish parents, as some people like to call it. We are not the permissive parents where it's just you let your kids do whatever they want and no boundaries and no consequences and they'll grow up just fine. We do not believe that. However, we also reject the notion that spanking is the best way to teach our kids boundaries. Now, we're going to be very clear here. When we say that, we acknowledge here at FPN that spanking absolutely works. Much in the same way that if I need to get through a traffic light quicker than I want to wait for it, I can take my car and ram the back end of yours and push your car out of the way, bearing that you have like a giant, you know, a huge monster truck or something like that, or a tank. I can push you out of the way. That works. However, none of us in this audience, I don't think, except for those of you with tanks, would look at that and say that there's not a better way to handle it. And that's the approach that we take here at Family Podcast Network, is that in many cases, moving to spanking is the quickest and the simplest short-term response that we can get to what we want from our kids. And we reject that as being the very best, because it gets to a point to where kids will look at doing the right or the wrong thing. And they're not motivated internally, they're motivated externally. So they don't look at it and say, oh, I don't want to do this, you know. They'll take a look at what they're going to do that's quote-unquote wrong, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to do this because my dad would kill me, right? Dad was going to whoop my butt with a little belt or whatever else, right? We don't want our kids, here at the Family Podcast Network, that's not what we want our kids believing. We reject the idea that kids need to be afraid of mom and dad in lieu or in trade for having them feel deep levels of respect. So instead, we want them saying, man, I'm not going to do that because it would kill my dad. And that's the mentality that we want to breed here. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't allow them consequences, that we don't allow them to fall on their butts, that we don't allow them to experience all the negativity of a bad decision, that we don't let them sometimes burn themselves on something that we told them was hot. We allow our kids to experience the natural consequences because there's plenty of things in life that are plenty painful that are out there that don't require extra pain from us. And so we, you know, we walked right into a lot of these requirements of what you can do and what you can't do with a foster and adoption kiddo without really having to receive any, you know, harshities. See, that wasn't a problem for us. But we cannot work with these kiddos because many of these kiddos have been abused. They've been hit. They've been smacked. Some of them have been sexually abused starting at young ages, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. Yes, makes your stomach sick. But these kids who have come from these rotten of places, we do not want to create that kind of familiar environment for them over. I don't often agree with what the federal bureaucracies often tell us. I find that in most cases, the rules and the laws that are created are asinine at best. But that's actually one. Well, regardless of what the reasoning behind it was, it's one of the few that I actually vehemently agree with when it comes to what we can do with foster kiddos. I do not think we should be spanking our own kiddos, but especially not these kids. So we have to look at everything from a different perspective, and we're going to cover some of that today in our show. So what we're going to cover today is going to be a lot of almost an inner monologue of some of the experiences that we have had and how we've taken some of these philosophies that we have here at FPN and we've applied them to the foster and adoptive setting, and we've seen them be remarkably successful. Let me set this up. This kiddo that we have has been staying with another foster family for months. And this family was just too old, and they weren't able to take these kids, and they want to place them somewhere where they can be adopted and long term and become family. And this family just couldn't do it. And so we actually contacted them, and we said, "Hey, listen, we think we might be interested in this." And so kiddo actually has come to stay with us on 3 separate occasions now, for a few days to a little over a week and a half. And so we've had her here. And she stayed with us, and we noticed that when she got here that in each and every instance that she was just very, very chaotic and very high energy, just really, you know, my wife often chooses the term spastic. And so we noticed a lot of that energy, and then after a day, 2 days, we noticed that energy began to taper off. And some of that high energy stuff began to taper off. We're going to discuss here a little bit, why did that happen? Why did it taper off? What were we doing? And how can you potentially replicate that at your home and hopefully generate some of the same levels of results? Also, as kind of a qualifying statement, when she went back to stay with this other foster family, they called us probably 2 or 3 hours after getting her home and said, "We want y'all to know she is a totally different kid." Normally, when we go over to another foster family, friends of ours, we get done and we tell her it's time to pack up, and she throws a big fit and she stomps around and just big cry fit. She goes, "Today was the very first day that we've said it's time to go home." She said, "Okay." She packed her stuff up and she was walking out the door. She has never done that. She said she has been so laid back. So how do we teach these kids? Now, I want to be clear here. Results may vary here. We come from a very unique perspective that the foster family that she's coming from is amazing. They are absolutely amazing. They have been working with us. They have been open with us. They have shared with us. And, I mean, they have made this way easier than most people ever get to have. So I'm tipping my hand that there's a major plus here, because I don't want you to be discouraged if you don't hear exact replicated results here. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how do we help our kids transition into home? How do we help them during these tough struggles, during these things that happen to them that are sometimes horrendous? How do we help them through these things? I'm going to tell you where we have to start. And this is one of the key fundamentals here at the Family Podcast Network. We do not start talking about technique. Yes, there are wonderful techniques out there, but there's not a single one of us that hasn't used some of the most amazing techniques in the world with our kids or our foster kids or our stepkids or whatever kids that we've got in our life and thought, "My God, that seems brilliant, but it doesn't freaking work for my kid." We've all been there. And it's frustrating. And it leaves us feeling hopeless sometimes when these brilliant ideas from these brilliant people fail on us. So what's the deal? You have to start somewhere, and you have to start somewhere very unique. And I'm going to tell you, most parents do not like to begin here because we like technique. We like the idea that if I can just do something different, I can generate better results. Now, that works for inanimate objects. If I'm driving my car and I'm coming up to a curve and I'm going straight, if I just do something different by moving my arms, then the car will adjust itself. Why does that work in an inanimate object? Because inanimate objects don't come with their own feelings, emotions, memories, thoughts, perspectives, relationships. They're inanimate, right? Non-sentient. These little people that we're going to be bringing home are not inanimate. They are quite sentient. They come with a quite bit of their own stuff and baggage and things and emotions and traumas in many cases. So you have to begin somewhere much deeper than technique. Because the reality is, we've all known that person who can say and do exactly the right thing, but you know deep down inside your knower that they're not being authentic with you. There's something deeper than our behaviors that matters to people, and it matters a lot. That is where we have to begin. The number one thing that we have to do when we bring any of these kids home as guests in our home or maybe as children in our home is we have to begin by seeing them as people. Well, Trey, that's easy. They're tiny little children. They're precious and they're sweet and they're cute and they're, you know, they're all these other things and they're wonderful, right? Let's be straight here. We are not going to get the best behavior from these kiddos. And let's be straight. Sometimes from our own kiddos, we don't get these best behaviors. We don't get the sweet, cute little dolls that are just so happy that we came and rescued them for their destitute situations. Some of them hate our guts for it. It's a reality. And sometimes people, when they're angry and when they're hurt, when they've had trauma after trauma, sometimes these kids come to us with so much anger, hurt, betrayal, that they don't act in such a way that invites us to see them as little people. And it gets so easy. Even the best of the best of the best of the best, sir, the best people I've ever seen, I've watched them objectify kids. I study this stuff probably more than the average person. You know what? I objectify my kids sometimes. They stop mattering as much as I do. I come home, I'm tired, I'm wiped out, I've had a rough day, and they start acting a fool. And all of a sudden, all the atrocities that happened to me that day, I mean that metaphorically here, atrocity. All these horrible things that happened to me all of a sudden become really a big deal. And their desire to want to play with daddy begins to get a whole lot smaller. That's not a big deal. When my kids are acting a fool, screaming, squealing, fighting with each other, all of a sudden it gets really easy to stop seeing their needs as important as mine. But let me tell you, you start bringing in kids that come in with different behaviors who haven't had a lifetime like your kids have to sit there and learn the rules of your house like our kids have to learn here at Homestead Day Gibson. When that happens, they often come with behaviors that are rough. So one of the very first things that we have to do as parents is we have to learn to see these kids as people no matter what they do. No matter the decisions they make, the behavioral stuff that they're able to act out, the hurtful things that they tell you or the hurtful ways that they act, no matter how many times they run away or they do something atrocious in our mind like masturbate in front of everybody, we have to learn to see them as little people. Let me tell you where I first had to come to grips with this. Whenever we first went to go see this little kiddo, we had actually gone to the other foster family's house, and while we were over there, they had some little tykes bikes that they were riding around and pulling a little trailer behind it and whatnot. And so my littlest daughter Charlotte, she's two, hopped in the back, and this little foster kiddo hopped in the back too, and they were just tooling around. And this little foster kiddo thought that my little kiddo Charlotte was just the cutest thing ever. And finally, Charlotte started kind of fussing and crying. And this little baby girl, our little foster daughter, reached her little hand around the front of her face and cupped it over her mouth and got her nose as well and was holding it, trying to get her to stop crying. Now, it would be easy as a parent to go ape wild crazy with this, right? She was smothering her. She was, you know, blocking her airways, whatever else that could go through our heads. But you see, I walked into this. I'm not patting myself on the back here. It sounds as such, but I promise I'm not. But I jumped off of the little trike that I was riding, and I walked over there to her, and I jogged, actually. I jogged over there to her, and I just took her hand, and I pulled it gently away from her mouth, and I said, "Sweetie, we do not put our hands over other people's faces, okay, sweet girl?" "Okay." Now, not everybody's going to have an experience just like that, and I get it. But let me tell you, that is a moment that is so easy if we're not careful, to see these little kiddos as atrocious little demons or as horrible little, "I can't believe they did that," instead of just seeing her for what she was. She's a little baby girl who's probably seen that done to other kiddos and likely has had that done to her. And the minute that I could think about that in my mind as I jumped off of that little trike and jogged over there to pull her hand off of my daughter's mouth, I thought to myself, man, what has she been through to see this? See, I had a moment there to where I could go down any route that I wanted. I could get upset as I wanted, and in some way I could probably justify to people how I was upset. But instead, I chose to see her as a person. You see, if we do not have the fundamentals of being able to see these kids as people, even though they're going to bring to us some of the nastiest trash that they've ever seen in their lives, we cannot be effective at this job. We cannot see these kids for what they are, and we can't choose not to see them for what they aren't if we do not walk into this understanding that they are people. It's a hard thing to learn sometimes. It's a very difficult thing to comprehend, but we must. Another thing that we've had to pretty clearly have to learn out of all of this is how to relook at behavior. The reality is that you are programmed to your kiddos' behaviors. The things that they do, you have this way that you can tend to interpret what they mean and what they're for. We can often tell when our kids are jerking us around, when they're trying to get out of working on chores or all those kinds of things. And we can tell when things are nefarious, criminal in nature, at least by the rules of our household. And you have to rewrite yourself to understand that the things that you may see your kiddo do, and I'm going to suggest that you do this with your regular kid, with your biological kids as well, but the things that you see your kiddos that are foster kiddos do, you have to learn to see them as not necessarily connected to normal behavior that you see. By that ridiculously complex statement I just said, you have to learn to look at a kid's behavior for what it is. Because it's easy to look at behavior as something else. I'll give you an example. We took her out to eat at a little restaurant, and all of our family was there, and she was sitting in between two of my other kiddos, and they were talking and yucking it up. And she just started getting, you know, as we got there, she just got very loud, and she got very rambunctious, and she started having all this high energy, and she just started kind of just, you know, with her head just like constantly not stopping, like for, you know, 60 seconds at a time doing that. And, you know, of course, there's people that are watching us now, and of course, all that dumb crap in me is stepping up. Now I'm going to start looking like I'm a bad father and all this other dumb stuff that starts to flare up. And I began to see this as she's acting like a fool right here, right? I started seeing her as being disrespectful of other people's desires to be, you know, have a quiet eating experience. Whatever else stupid crap was going through my head, it was. And I sat there and I started finding myself getting physically anxious, much to the chagrin of everybody else at the table with me. You know, they were feeling, experiencing, kind of feeding off of my anxiety about all this. And I finally had to stop myself and say, you know what? It's interesting. And I began to put together that throughout the day, I had seen this behavior from her. And every single time that I had seen this behavior from her, it was when we had gone somewhere new. And I had to remind myself, oh, goodness, I had seen this when we had gone to Meemaw's house. Meemaw is my wife's mother. And we had gone to her house, and she started doing this. And my mindset was, why would she do this at Meemaw's house? This is such a great place. But I had to stop and think of this by myself. She had never been there before. This was a totally brand new place. And while my kids and I and my wife may be totally comfortable going to this house, she had not been there before. We had seen it when she had first showed up at our house, and then it went down. Then we saw it when we went to Meemaw's house, then it went down. Then we saw it when we stopped at a store, and then it went down. And then now we were seeing it at this restaurant. And I began to see her as a person. So instead of seeing her as this little hellion who wants to keep everybody from having a nice, quiet meal at this very nice restaurant, for a very quick amount of time, I was able to start realizing, what was I seeing here? I was seeing anxiety. And every time that she was starting to feel nervousness and anxiety from a new place and new people, a new Meemaw, this is the behavior that would come out. Now, if I sat there working on trying to correct the behavior, what am I trying to stop? I'm trying to stop her from doing the very thing that she is doing to cope with her anxiety and stress. So if I come in there and tell her to stop doing that, stop doing the thing, right? What am I really saying? Stop coping with this experience in the only way that you know how. So instead, I said, let's treat this like it's anxiety. What if she's scared or nervous? So what I did was, her and one of the 3-year-old Cora was just starting to fight and bicker with each other. And so finally, I said, sweet tea, why don't you come here, baby girl? She scooted down and she came and sat next to me. And I just put my arm around her and I sat there and I rubbed her back. And the blah started getting less and less and less. So I began to soothe her. We treated it like anxiety rather than bad behavior. She began to calm, and it went away. It's a very fascinating experience. So one of the other things that we have to do as the surrogate, temporary, or even long-term adoptive parents to these kiddos is we have to learn to see behaviors for what they are. We have to get to the point where we see them as people. Because when we are seeing them as people, then and only then can we begin to see behaviors for what they often really are. They're not trying to piss us off. They're not trying to drive us crazy. They're not trying to make us just absolutely teeth-grittingly angry. In some cases, they are doing the very best with the only skills that they've been taught. Let's be frank. They didn't get to where they were in their lives because they grew up in a home that taught them great coping skills. Just typically not how it works. And it is crass of us to assume otherwise. And even worse, I think, to not do the very dang best that we can do to teach them otherwise. One of the next things that we have to do that really is fairly, it's definitely of the same strain as the previous one, was we have to learn how to accept them where they are. We have to learn to accept them that they are not going to start acting like your last name, fill in the blank there, kids, immediately. They may never. But we have to get to the point that we can accept them right where they are, acknowledging that they're doing the very best that they know how with what they've got, and that they were giving such poor skills in many cases, they have got nothing. They have nothing. No skill sets. No ways to deal with extreme pain or fear or threatening feelings. Except really horrible ways. And sometimes, the worst things that we can imagine happening to our kids, they have had 3, 4, 5 times worse over, repeatedly. And then they were ripped away from the people that were the most important to them. Stuck with these weird people like the Gibsons. But we have to learn to accept them where they are, for what they are, for who they are, for why they do things. You see, it's hard to depersonalize things whenever you don't see them as a person. I'll give you all a quick story. Some of y'all have heard this. In a previous life, I used to do this kind of stuff. I have a master's degree in counseling psychology, and I used to do therapy with kids, and then eventually I did child placement. But when I used to do therapy style stuff with kiddos, I remember that I had this one young boy who came in, and I mean, he sat down for our first meeting after I did all the paperwork with his grandma that he was staying with, and this kid just called me and mother effing son of a effing mother effing that, who's a female dog and who is an overweight son of a who came from somebody else's mama. I mean, this kid, we're talking like when it came to expletives, he was conjugating some verbs. This kid had it down to a fine art. And he went through this stuff, and I found myself getting kind of, you know, hurt and frustrated by it. And I went and talked to my supervisor, and she made a comment. She goes, "Trey, have you read his file?" Yeah, I know I need to read his file. But next week, same experience. I was a mother effing biggest fat baby blood that he'd ever seen, and fringe dragon and all this other stuff. And I got frustrated, and I mentioned it to my supervisor. She goes, "Trey, have you read his file?" I did that 3 weeks in a row. She goes, "Trey, have you read his file?" And that third one, I finally said, "Crap, I guess I probably should listen to my supervisor and go read his file." And I flipped his file open, and I started reading through this. And by this time, I'm angry, I'm frustrated. I'm ready to tell this kid to go stick it in, you know, where the sun don't shine. That's what I'm thinking about doing, because I've had enough of this kid, this abuse, and I don't deserve any of this and all that other stuff. And I sat down and opened up his file, and I started reading. And this little boy had abuses done to him with foreign objects that should never have been happened to his body. I'll spare you the grisly details on it, but it was horrible. And it was all done by his father, who incidentally had a shaved head just like mine. We looked similar in a lot of ways. So I want you to imagine, what do you think happened to me that next week when I sat down with that little young man and he proceeded to rip me up and tell me a new one? I think I felt about that then. You see, for the first time, I wasn't seeing how all of his things were designed to hurt me. I began to see him for the hurt that had happened to him. He became a person. And all those little rottens, all those little nasty phrases, and all the hurtful things that he did, and the names that he called me, things I hadn't heard sometimes since high school, all of a sudden, those melted away, and they lost almost all their personableness. Because all I could see was the picture of that dad who had done unspeakable things to him. And you see, that story always kind of has a heart pull to most people when I tell it. It's a true story. But the reason for that is there's not a single person that can't in some way connect, with exceptions of extreme sociopath, but there's not a person out there that can't connect with that understanding. That understanding that I went from seeing him as somebody who was just a little, you know, conjugating verb turd to a little kid. To a little kid who'd had horrible things done to him. And it changed how I viewed everything. You see, this is a major proponent. It's a major tenet of effective foster and adoption. And I'm going to be honest, I think we should learn to do that with any other kid as well, not just the kiddos that come to us through foster. But if we can learn to see a kid and accept them for who they are, that doesn't mean we're not going to teach him not to be different. That's what we're going to talk about next. It's teaching kids different things and different things to do. But learning to accept a kid where they are is just saying, "I can love you and care about you even if you never change." That doesn't mean that I'm not going to teach you how to change for your benefit. But I can accept you right where you are. You know, we'll often call that unconditional love. That ability to love somebody that you don't have to do anything to earn it. And even in some cases, even if you do everything to try to discern it, it doesn't change the fact that I still see you for what you are. You're a person to me. A person who's been through hard stuff. A person who's learned maybe some really bad habits. But you strip all that away, and you are still a person to me. You see, if we can't make this happen in foster and adoption parenting, most everything else after it is going to be a failure. Because it all comes back to how we see them. How do we interpret what they're doing? Which leads us to our last point today, and we're going to wrap it up on this. The other major piece for what we have to do is we have to teach them to do something different. For those of you guys who are new, that are first listening to the show, we take a very different approach to discipline here. We do not translate discipline here as punishments. Understand that we are defining, at least here at the Family Podcast Network, that a punishment is the addition of any uncomfortable consequence, whether it be adding extra things like doing extra dishes or taking something away, whether it be like, you know, taking their games away, or whether it be the application of a painful experience like a spanking. That's what we call punishment here. We don't believe in punishment. What? You are one of those parents. No. That's not what we're saying here. What we're talking about is that when we say we are going to discipline our kids, we pull the original Greek meaning behind that, which is discipleos, just to disciple, probably sounds familiar. If you know anything about the Christian Bible, we understood this is go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And what that was is that disciple means to teach. So we desire, whenever we are disciplining our kids, is the idea behind it is we are to teach them. Now let's be clear here. What we are saying is when we say we do not punish, that means we do not add additional painful experiences to our kids to try to make a lesson out of it. What we do is we allow them to have the natural sucky consequences of their bad decisions. If a kid comes to us and it's 30 degrees outside and they're wearing shorts and they're getting ready to get on the bus to go to school, we let them get on the bus and go to school in the cold. But Trey, they're going to freeze. Maybe they'll listen next time. Or maybe they'll be resourceful and they'll borrow one from another kid, or they'll remember one they left at the school that'll get brought home. I mean, who knows? But the idea behind it is we do not add extra pain to them. We let them suffer to the fullest extent the consequences of the choices that they make. But it's not just that. It's not just about waiting for our kid to have to, they defied something that we said to do, so now let's wait for them to be in pain. It's also about teaching them. Let's spend more time teaching our kids what we want them to do and less time about what we don't want them to do. Don't get me wrong. Telling them, no, don't do this is important. That's just as valuable as anything else. However, we spend so much time in American parenting emphasizing, no, don't do this, that I think we spend no time in giving our kids alternatives of, but here, let's give this a try. See what I'm saying? And foster kids are, oh, so very much the same. They desperately, desperately need us to teach them what to do different. We had some situations to where this little kiddo, she's grown up in daycares, and I have no doubt this is where she's picked most of this up at, excluding what she's seen mom and the people that mom brought into her life. She's seen this kind of thing happen, but it was a horrible hitter when we got her the very first time. She was hitting babies. She was hitting our 4-year-old. She was hitting our 5-year, six, almost 6-year-old, and our 7-year-old, just hitting everybody. See, now the traditional punishment role would come in and say that we should hit her back, or that we should stick her nose in a corner, or that we should make her go sit down in a timeout. Instead, my wife used it as an opportunity to teach her. So we sat down with her, and every time she would hit, we'd pull her and says, "No, ma'am, we do not hit what we don't do." And then we said, "Here's what we do, is we be gentle." And we showed her how to be gentle. And that took some time. It probably took, by time, I just mean it took one day. But it took 2 or 3 repetitions because, the next time that she got upset, she went right back to her old habit again. We had to start it over 3, 4, maybe 5 times. She began to figure it out. No, 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 we do not hit puppy dogs. No, 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 we do not hit cats. Here's what we do. Now, I want you guys to hear me say that I'm pitching these as very fundamental tenets, and there's a lot more that we can build around these 4 core tenets of what we're talking about today. But I want you to start to get thinking about these today, whether you're a foster parent or not. Remember, this stuff is equally as valuable to our kids that weren't brought to us from by Child Protective Services. These are just as important. But I think especially as we foster parents get into this, we have to learn to take a look at these tenets and understand that our kids are who they are. They have gone through what they have gone through. They have not gone through what our kids have gone through. And if we're not careful, we can walk into this whole foster to adopt thing with expectations that are so unfair. And in some cases, as disparaging as the situations they came from, that we can be setting them up. Some of these kiddos that we're going to get, some of these kiddos of those of you who are listening, are pushing the boundaries as hard as they can. Because you got to remember, some of these kids have been let down by so many adults, the ones that were supposed to be able to love them for their entire lives. They've been rejected hard. And I don't think there's one of us that doesn't understand the principle, at least, of that idea. You know what? It's better just to burn every bridge that ever gets tried to get built to me and keep people away from me. Because reality is, if I let people get close to me, they're just going to hurt me just like mom and dad did. Just like that first foster family did. Just like that one set that I really enjoyed. They're going to burn me. Get rid of me. Might as well just do it as quickly as I can so I don't have to wait too long. some of these kiddos are going to come with some stuff. But if we can do this right, if we can learn to see them for who they are, accept them right where they are at, if we can get to that point where we can see them as people no matter what they do, that we're able to read their file, which I do recommend. If you have a kid that is a foster adoption, please go talk to your worker and say, can I read their file, please? I don't think they'll tell you no. I know the agency that I worked for, we never told them no if they asked that. We said, here you go. Take your time. Because we knew that could be an empathy building. Just practice. Go read your kid's file. Imagine it. If there's not much in that file to help you out, then imagine it. The next time that they go ape crazy wild in one of the stores, ask yourself that question. How terrified are they feeling right now? Maybe they're not even terrified. I don't know. I don't care. What I care about is you getting to a position where you can see these little kids for what they are and not for what's easier to see them as. It's easier to see somebody as a hellion than it is to try to imagine what's going on with him. They would get a person to where they would do this. What would it take for me as a person to get to a position where I'm willing to run around a store acting crazy? Well, Trey, I mean, I would never do that. I'm an adult. That's right, because you have umpteen amount of years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years worth of experience learning how to cope with this stuff. These kids do not have your experience. You see how it works? Do you see how this all flows together? We learn to see these kids as people instead of hellions. We learn to accept them where they are. And we learn to get to a point to where we teach them to do the things that we do on an everyday basis. Things that probably got taught to us by our mothers, our fathers, our aunts and our uncles when we were young. Some of these kids have never been taught any of this stuff. My baby girl was at home, hungry, and she was eating on mildewed and rotten food that was left on the plates in different rooms. Was having diarrhea every day because she was eating this rotten food. I read her file. I know the story. And I'm able to look at this baby and all the things that she does that are tough. And all I see is her nibbling on a rotten piece of bread. And all the things that she does, all the things that drive us nuts, all the things that hurt our feelings when she does them, liquidate. And they melt away. And I'm left with nothing but seeing this little baby girl for the thing that she can be. My hope today, my prayer today, is that you start a foundation in your life where you can build the things that you need to begin to see your kid the same way. Your little kiddo that was brought to you by CPS. No stork for this baby. My hope for you is that you can get to that point where you see them because you've read their file. Metaphorically speaking, I want you to understand that the Family Podcast Network is here to help you do that, to help you go deeper in your relationship with your kid, to help you take that parenting to that next level. Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. For those of you guys that are new, don't forget to come join us this Friday. It'll be me and my co-host, Jeff. Jeff, I'm telling you, he is one smart guy, and he puts together some of the best shows. So come join us for the Real Family Guys podcast this weekend or this Friday. No, that is not for men only. It is by two men, but let me tell you, the stuff we talk about is applicable both directions. Come join us. I think you'll enjoy it, and you will learn something that will bake your noodle. You guys have a great day, great week. We'll see you guys on Fridays.